This episode on Unmei, The Following Path.
The die has been cast.
It is late summer in the country of Egypt. The outer walls around the capital city are strong and sturdy, 3 feet thick and over 50 feet high and completely made of marble. On the walls, archers are stationed with bows ready. Right in front of them, unarmed women dressed in teal robes. The army commander is pacing back and forth. And suddenly in the distance, a rider on a horse races from the horizon over the sand dunes.
Open the gates! Open the gates!
Open the gates! What did you see? Who are they?
I don't know, sir.
How many are there?
Hard to say, but if I had to guess, no more than 1,000 men? Not very equipped either. It seems everyone only brought their own weapon and none to spare. I also didn't see any food storage.
1,000? This doesn't make sense. They're planning to overtake the capital of a city with 1,000 men and low supplies. This is the most fortified city in the country. We have 300,000 fighting men and 200,000 more in reserve. Not to mention our king. He can kill 100 men by himself in an instant. This is not only foolhardy, it's just suicide. Many professional armies have tried to sack the glory of Egypt, only to barely leave a chip in the walls.
The commander walks towards the edge of the wall and stares into the blackness, stroking his beard.
What do they want?
I don't know, sir, but from looking at their ships, they're definitely not from around here. Looking at the flag and the crest, it looks like to be some sort of Asian origin. From the types of ships they brought, they must be from far away. Those are long travel ships. They probably have been traveling for weeks with very little supplies.
These strangers came a very long way to make trouble with us. They should be very tired. We should attack them now before they have a chance to rest up.
That's why I was in such a hurry, sir. They're getting ready to march as we speak.
What? They aren't even going to rest first? Are they insane? Either that or their leader is heartless. Either way, we must kill them all. Not even one can escape. We'll beat back those trespassers. Take the chariots, flank around, and burn down their base. I don't know where they came from or what they want, but they will pay for their arrogance with their lives.
Yes, sir.
Something's not right here.
The invading army is preparing for the assault. 1,000 men pick up their single spear and begin to get into formation. Only the boats are docked onto the shore. Only one tent was pitched, which belonged to the daimyo. Inside the tent was a throne, and sitting upon the throne was their commander, Ieyasu Tokugawa, daimyo of the Tokugawa clan. He was a husky man with a large steel hat, along with full sparkling silver armor, wrapped in a blue cape with a golden family crest on the cape. Standing next to him is his unwavering bodyguard, Hanzo, a ninja who is dressed head to toe in black, and wearing a face mask that only makes his eyes visible. His eyes are cold, emotionless, and remorseless, the true eyes of a cold-blooded killer. Suddenly, Ayaso's brother-in-law, Jinjuro, a young man wearing dark blue samurai armor, barges into the tent.
Lord Ieyasu! I just wanted to report that—
You will bow before you approach, Lord Jinjuro.
I'm sorry, my lord.
Rise, Jinjuro. I will not have my own brother bow to me. Now, what do you have to report?
My lord, my troops are ready, but—
Don't call me my lord, Jinjuro. Just because I'm daimyo doesn't mean anything has changed between us. You are still my family.
I just feel like after our long voyage, we should rest a bit before we head out. They're exhausted and hungry.
This is why you abstain from doing any work during the journey, Jinjuro? I needed you to be fit.
But what are we even doing here? What are we here to find?
It's already been found. Just go and get it.
But Ieyasu, this is suicide. We have zero intel on our enemy. We don't stand a chance.
I don't care if we stand a chance or not. Their lives are not my concern, and even less my care. You all have your orders.
What?
Jinjuro angrily walks towards Ieyasu. In the blink of an eye, he is face down in the sand. His body is being pressed down and he is unable to move. A black shadow flashed on top of him in an instant. Hanzo pins down Jinjuro face down in the sand. He lifts his head up and puts a blade to his throat like he is preparing to slaughter an animal.
Hanzo, enough! Release him at once!
As you command, my lord.
Jintaro, please do not fear me. Everyone is so afraid of me. I will not have you fear me too. Please rise. I need you, Jintaro. This is for the future of the Tokugawa. That's all you need to know. You have been ordered. Now go win my battle, Commander. Oh, and Jintaro, make sure you are not in the front lines. I don't want to have to explain to my wife why her sister is a widow. I'd never hear the end of it.
Yes, my lord. I will obey.
Hanzo and Ayasu stay in silence for a moment to make sure that Jinjuro really left.
Hanzo!
Hi.
Are you ready?
Always.
Very well. Go.
Hi.
Hanzo puts two fingers in front of his face in the stance of the ramp. Hanzo closes his eyes and deeply inhales. Then with a puff of black smoke, Hanzo vanished. Ayasu walks back to his throne and sits down. Despite everything that had conspired and everything that was about to happen, Ayasu is eerily calm.
I can only hope that Jinjiro is the leader he claims to be. I can't have them being wiped out too quickly. He must give Hanzo enough time.
Back on the beach, the Tokugawa soldiers are waiting for their leader to come and march them all to their impending deaths. A lot of these men are teenagers experiencing their first taste of actual combat. Jinjuro, however, is a veteran who had seen many battles. Jinjuro stands before his soldiers, nervous about what he is going to say to them. He weeps inside his armor.
Men! Killers! Fierce warriors of Mikawa! I can read your faces. After a long voyage, you're tired and fatigued. But when I read your faces, I also see that you are eager and ready. That should send chills down the spines of our enemies. All of you men were chosen by our Lord Ieyasu himself. He chose you because you are the biggest, baddest, more fiercest warriors in all of Japan. Now we approach an enemy that we have never seen before. We don't even know what they look like or what they believe in. But I can tell you this. They are a threat to our existence, our way of life, our family. All of you said goodbye to your families out of tradition, but frankly, it was unnecessary. I have a wife at home. Children too. I didn't say goodbye to any of them. I just told them that I'm off to work. Because I know that I will return. Whatever awaits us beyond these dunes, we are ready. They think that they are nice and safe behind their fortifications. But they have never faced the likes of us before. We will defend our homes. And we will defend our families. Will we allow them to harm our people?
No!
Do we know fear?
No!
And now, brave soldiers, let us go to work and do what it is we do best. I will not allow them to make my wife a widow and my children fatherless. Actually, I am very pissed off that I'll be missing a month of my wife's sweet pork bowl. I think I want to take out my anger on their faces.
Jinjuro takes out a sword and raises it in the air. The army roars with morale and enthusiasm.
For family, for honor, for Mikawa!
Very impressive, Lord Jinjuro. You have the potential to be a great leader.
I thank you for your kind words. However, I feel like I need to cleanse myself.
Why is that, my lord?
Because I don't believe a word I just said. The truth is, I hugged my wife and children harder than I ever had before. I am leading these boys to their deaths, knowing that I will not be sharing their same fate. I feel dirty. Please, dear elder, find your way back to the boats and stay there. I feel that no one else will be leaving the battlefield.
All the troops are battle ready. The archers loaded the beachside of the walls and right behind them the woman in teal robes. The shamans with their arms glowing teal. The commander addresses his troops.
Soldiers, I have no idea where these strangers came from, but they will not be returning. Our golden archers are the finest in all the world. If they happen to be lucky enough to get past them, our shaman will burn them to a crisp. Even if they are the luckiest sons of bitches on the planet, they cannot scale our walls, nor can they penetrate it. Just sit tight and wait for my orders. It is a beautiful night for a slaughter. The god Tem has smiled upon us.
Jinjuro marches his troops off the beach over the dunes. Once they reach the top of the dunes, they look upon the monuments, pyramids, and the glory that is Egypt. They murmur to themselves, and their morale begins to waver as they start to realize their odds. During this time, on the opposite side of the castle, high up on the dunes, Hanzo appears with a puff of smoke unnoticed by the Egyptians who were preoccupied on the other side. As he looked upon the kingdom, he exhaled and began making hand signs and chanting.
Ren, Pyo, To, Sha, Kai, Jin, Retz, Zai, Zen.
Meanwhile, back on the battlefield.
Even though it looks like we have the advantage here, do not get cocky. If I could, I would like to finish this with just arrows. Let's not waste the king's magic if we don't have to. Oh yeah, and one more thing.
The commander is interrupted by a sudden chill in the air. Then suddenly, snow begins to sprinkle from the night sky. The soldiers looking around at each other in confusion as the snow slowly begins to fall heavier. The commander puts out his hand and catches a few snowflakes and inspects them. The scout runs up to him, attempting to get clarity.
Sir, what is going on? What type of magic is this?
It's not magic. It's the weather. It's called snow. I've seen this during tours up north. It occurs mainly during the winter and much colder climates. Not as dry, but...
Sir?
It has to be over 90 degrees out here tonight. Doesn't make any sense. And the snow isn't like normal snow. It's heavy and thick.
So... What do you want to...
What is the matter with you? Wake up. Wait. What is going on?
The commander looks around and notices all his troops yawning, then fall into a deep sleep. Then after a moment, he faces the same fate. At the main gate of the castle, a black puff appears. Hanzo appears once again. He walks up to the wall of the castle and flipped over it in a single bound, effortlessly landing on the inside of the castle walls. Hanzo began to walk to the door of the castle, walking right past the sleeping guards and towards the entrance to the palace.
Target located.
Hanzo, using the shadows of the night, easily sneaks past the sentry guards scattered through the palace. Making his way all the way to the top floor of the palace, he stops at an empty room. This room looks different than the other rooms. Hanzo enters the room, surveying it from top to bottom. On the far side of the room was a large door that was glowing blue. Hanzo has a split personality which gives him an alter ego. He names this alter ego Kotaro. They have conversations with each other all the time.
Well, Hanzo-chan, at least there's no traps. This should be easy. Thank God I'm pooped.
Fool, Kotaro. It's obviously trapped. Their lack of subtlety is insulting.
Now, Hanzo-chan, don't take it personally. I'm sure if they knew you were coming, they would have done better. They'll do better next time. Okay, let's go.
Very well, Kotaro. Your chance to prove yourself to me.
Hanzo cautiously enters the room, looking around at everything. He silently walks forward. While creeping forward toward the barrier door, his foot falls through the floor. Hanzo struggles, unable to free his foot. The walls and the ceilings flip around, revealing dozens of tiny holes. He doesn't even have a chance to think. Darts were shooting from every side and heading straight toward Hanzo.
Trapdoor, I knew it.
I'm on it. Ah, woo!
Hanzo claps his hands and moves them in a circular motion, throwing a kunai knife onto the wall behind him. Suddenly, with a puff of smoke, three identical Hanzo copies appear right in the path of the darts.
Whew.
The darts crash on their mark and purple fog begin to fill the room. Hanzo knew that it was poison gas, but from his training, was resistant to most inhalation poisons. He confidently moves his hand forward and feels his hand burn and instantly pulls his hand back. He realizes that this is not poison that you breathe in. It's corrosive poison, dangerous to the touch. As the fume dissipates, the three clones that he made are standing there covered in needles. The clones walk around aimlessly for a couple of seconds and then puff with the smoke. Hanzo had used a teleportation technique and teleported to the kunai knife that he threw into the wall behind him. He begins to walk towards the door again, walking gingerly. After triggering the first trap, Hanzo notices that the blue barrier around the door is getting lighter.
It looks like the traps are linked with the door's barrier. I need to disable all the traps to gain access to that door.
How is that, Hanzo-chan? Pretty cool, huh?
No, it was tactless and amateurist. Let me show you how a real ninja works.
Hanzo walks further into the room, looking to trigger the next trap. Suddenly, when he steps, a large portion of the floor gives way, and he begins to fall.
Oh no, Hanzo! Loose floor, and you fell right for it! We're doomed!
Child's play.
While falling, Hanzo created multiple clones and used them as stepping stones. He jumps off the backs of the clones to reach another above, continuously having to make more clones as he was falling. He does a large jump off the back of the top clone, then, using his momentum, starts jumping off the walls. At the top of his jump, he flung his chain scythe and hooked it to the top of the pit. After it latches on, he begins to climb himself out. After climbing himself, he wraps his chain around the scythe and sees the barrier growing weaker again.
Wow, that was amazing, Hanzo-chan. You're so smart. What do you think was at the bottom? Like spikes or something?
With the lavish lifestyle that these people boast, it might have been wild animals. Perhaps a pit of lions.
Aww, pretty kitties. That would have been nice. Let's go see them.
We wouldn't have survived the fall, fool. Let's just move on. You're up. I guess there'd be one more trap. I have no idea what it is. But that's your problem to figure out, not mine.
Hanzo walks closer to the end of the room toward the glowing door. He is eerily unfazed given the two near-death experiences he just had. While looking on the floor for more traps, he doesn't notice the thin, shin-high strings stretch across the width of the room. Hanzo breaks the string, causing it to fall silently to the floor. Suddenly, a tickling sound slowly starts sounding, gradually getting faster until it sounds like tap dancing. Then it stopped. Hanzo frantically looks around the room for the source. Suddenly, the panels on the wall flip over, revealing two large circular saws. The saws begin to spin and rotate 90 degrees until they were parallel with the floor. The sound was piercing. Once the saws reached their momentum, they shot out towards Hanzo. Hanzo noticed that they were at different heights.
Oh no, we're screwed, Hanzo-chan! Before we die, I just want to tell you,
focus! What are you going to do?
I got it!
Hanzo takes out his chain scythe and waits for the saws to approach. He jumps through the gap between the two saws. Hanzo takes his scythe and hooks it into the empty hole in the middle of the top saw. Using the momentum, Hanzo extends the chain and swings the saw around in a circle. After several rotations, Hanzo unhooks the scythe and throws the saw towards the barrier door. The lower saw crashes into the sidewall. It impacted with so much force that it actually went through two walls and landed in the next room. The barrier is destroyed, but so is the entire wall.
I think I went a little overboard, Hanzo.
You fool, you could have killed the target. Anyway, the door is open. Let's go finish the mission.
Hanzo heard sounds of a crying baby coming from the room. Hanzo runs over to the crib and picks the crying child up. The child has dark skin and is wrapped in a gold blanket. Until he hears the sounds of a single pair of footsteps from behind him. Hanzo turns around to see a large brown-skinned man with a golden robe. The golden robe has blue trim and a silver clasp over the chest. It is regal and only goes over one shoulder. It was the king.
Ah, a ninja. How amusing. You're either very brave or very stupid to try to come here and kidnap the heir to my throne. Do you want to hold my child for ransom? Are you rogue, down on your luck? What is it that you want? Money? Gold? Women? So primitive. Well, the way of a ninja is sacrifice, is it not? That is Nindo, right? Is that what it's called? At least you will be fulfilling your goal and dying to me.
The king takes off his robe and stretches out his arms and shoulders. Hanzo places the child back into the cradle and faces the king. The two begin to circle each other.
Nindo? What would you know about Nindo?
Come, little ninja. Show me your Nindo. Fulfill your destiny of sacrifice and...
Before the king could finish his gloating, a chain from the ceiling wraps around his neck. The chain tightens and the king begins to lift off the ground, jumping down from the wooden beam that ran along the ceiling. A Hanzo copy slides down, holding the other end of the chain. The copy gives the end of the chain to Hanzo, who childishly waves at the king, then disappears in a puff of smoke.
The way of the ninja is about an overestimation of every enemy. How soon you forget, Ni-chan.
Hanzo walks back to the crib and picks up the baby. Hanzo then proceeds to walk out of the room. His intent was to let the king die a slow death.
Ni-chan. Hanzo? It can't be, but I thought...
Thought what? I was dead? No, you arrogant speck. I survived your betrayal. You really thought I wouldn't see through it? Do you think that lowly of me? You send me on a mission far away with bodyguards for my protection? When have I ever needed bodyguards? They just slow me down. That night, while I lay down to rest, my guards, on your orders, tried to kill me like they could. Did you fear me that much? I didn't want to rule the clan. I made that well known. But your paranoia was too much for you to handle. What was accomplished was nothing. Nothing but four dead men who never made it home to their families. Because of you, I can never forgive you for that.
Please, please, little brother, let me down.
Hanzo walks past and ignores him.
Fine, fine, fine. Hanzo, please, spare my life. Take the child, just don't leave me here to die.
Hanzo stops dead in his tracks. He gently places the baby on the floor and faces the king. He then throws a shuriken at the weak point of the chain, causing it to break. The king falls to the floor, wheezing and gasping while on all fours. Hanzo walks up to the king.
Pathetic.
Thank you, little brother.
Hanzo walks past him and grabs his scythe that had fallen to the floor. He wraps the remaining chain around his arm and picks up the baby once more. The king doesn't even try to stop him.
I am sorry for betraying you. Take the child and leave my kingdom. Let's keep this secret. You know, we're family.
Suddenly, Hanzo flashes behind the king and puts his scythe to the king's throat.
Your kingdom? Weakling. Let me make one thing clear. I care nothing for you. I just needed my weapon back, or Lord Ieyasu would have had my head for leaving evidence. You are a liar, a joke, a pretender, a facade. None of this is real. I was actually going to let you live in your shame, but your pitifulness is unworthy of this world. Die.
Hanzo plunges his scythe into the king's chest. Hanzo picks up the now fast asleep baby again in his arms and walks out. The king left on the floor bleeding and gasping for air. Hanzo walks out and hears the king's voice become softer and softer until there was just silence. Suddenly, the child glows with a green light. It is so blinding, Hanzo must turn his head. Along with the globe, a high-pitched hum comes out of the baby. It grows louder and more deafening. The louder the hum, the brighter the light shined. It was now a bright white glow. Then, as quickly as it began, the piercing hum ceases and the light retracts back into the baby. Everything was silent once again. The child remains sleeping for the whole event. Hanzo picks up the child and begins to walk out of the room.
Interesting. Very interesting. I have no idea. I only have speculation. Shut up, Katoto. You lack the skill to do so. That's Lord Ieyasu to you. Release.
Hanzo disappears into a puff of smoke. The Tokugawa army approaches the walls and the sleeping soldiers. The snow begins to lighten, turning into flurries, then a drizzle, then hard rain. The chilly rain begins to wake up the soldiers. They all start to come to their senses and seem to forget what they were doing. The commander wakes up too and rubs his eyes. He stumbles to the wall and looks out into the darkness. He snaps out of it immediately, remembering what was going on.
Get your lazy asses up! We're under attack here! The enemy must have put a spell on us. How cute. I think we should show them what real magic is, yeah?
After the commander wakes up the troops, they begin hobbling over wooden buckets of glowing green liquid. The archers dip their arrows in the liquid, causing the tips to glow. Next, the shaman woman dressed in green submerged their whole hands in the liquid and began rubbing it on their arms like they're bathing. They wear garbs in front of their face like a wedding veil. They then perch themselves on the walls in front of the archers. In the distance, Jinjiro notices a green glow coming off the walls.
Do not attack until I say so.
What the hell is going on? Hold here. I need to get a better layout of the land. We are in range of their archers, but it's dark out. As long as you don't move and stay quiet, they shouldn't be able to see us. I'll be right back.
Jinjiro runs about 200 yards back to the top of the dunes to get a better view.
I don't want to waste all night with this. Let's just get this over with and make sure that none of them leave. They're using the dark of the night to hide their movement. Clever, but not good enough. Archers, let's light this place up, shall we? We want to be inviting hosts to our guests, don't we?
Lines of green dots begin to fill the air coming from the castle. The arrows are shot randomly, but when they land, they leave a bright glow and green flame. One arrow hits a Tokugawa soldier, causing him to burst into flames.
I see you! Concentrate all your fire behind that position. Cut off their escape.
No! They found us!
Jinjiro looks for a way to get back to the front, but is cut off by green flames. He looks upon helplessly as his troops get slaughtered. The enchanted arrows burn the flesh of whatever it touches. The shamans throw green fireballs that explode, leaving nothing but a green skeleton.
This is horrible! We're in way over our heads! I have to go see Ieyasu. We must retreat before they all get wiped out.
Ieyasu is sitting upon his throne. With a puff of smoke, Hanzo appears right next to him, holding the child in his arms.
You're late!
My apologies, my lord. I got held up.
You? Since when? What is really going on here?
My lord, I don't...
I'm just kidding with you, my friend. It's a joke. Your track record and success rate is enough to put you above any suspicion.
I live to serve you, my lord. Are we ready to move out?
No, we have to wait for Jinjiro.
Would you like me to get him?
No need. He'll be here soon enough.
Very well. I will attend to the child.
My lord!
Anzo retreats to the back of the tent. Seconds later, Jinjiro rushes inside the tent and attempts to run up to Aiyasu, but stops halfway there and looks around in search of Hanzo. After he establishes that Hanzo isn't there, he feels comfortable approaching Aiyasu.
Ah, Jinjiro! You're finally here!
My lord!
Call me brother!
We don't have time for this! The troops are getting annihilated! We have to order the retreat before they're wiped out!
No, we are leaving!
What? What about the men?
Hanzo enters back in the room holding the child and gives the baby to Aiyasu. Jinjiro looks at Hanzo and internally cowers, but tries to show himself as tough.
As I told you, their lives are no concern to me. I have what we came here for.
A child? We sacrificed ourselves for the sake of this child?
No, they sacrificed themselves for the sake of this child. We, however, are leaving. Their deaths will buy us time to leave.
Ieyasu, don't do this!
It's done. The die has already been cast, and we are leaving.
I couldn't bear living with myself knowing that I left them to die.
Yes, you can! It will be fairly easy, actually. Just forget any of this ever happened.
No. I am a samurai. This means that I live by the Bushido Code. I will not soil my honor.
Ah, yes. Bushido. I remember when that meant something to me. I tend to see things a little more efficiently now.
Then I cannot serve you.
I don't want your service, just your loyalty. Either way, you're coming back to Mikawa with me. I told you I don't want to hear my wife's mouth. If you do not come with us, I will announce that you died as a traitor. Now, what would that do for your Bushido code?
Jinjiro picks up his spear and walks towards the entrance of the tent. Right before he exits, he stops and looks back at Aiyasu.
Go to hell. Permission to die, brother?
Enough of this. Hanzo!
Hi.
Hanzo flashes directly in front of Jinjiro. Jinjiro attempts to punch Hanzo. Hanzo dodges the first punch and catches the second one. Hanzo uses his other hand and makes hand signs, then presses two fingers onto Jinjiro's forehead, leaving a kanji insignia. It shines for a second and Jinjiro falls to the ground unconscious. Hanzo drags him to Aiyasu's throne, who was still holding the baby.
Let's go.
Hanzo lays Jinjiro on the floor and does hand signs. Then he puts one hand on Jinjiro's unconscious body and the other on Aiyasu's knee. Then all four turn into a cloud of smoke and disappear, leaving the tent empty. Only the sound of the ocean can be heard. Suddenly, the elder runs into the tent looking for Jinjiro.
Lord Jinjiro, what about the retreat? It's a bloodbath. I don't think they'll last much.
The elder notices that the tent is empty. He begins to piece it together as they were used for fodder that Jinjiro and Aiyasu left them. The elder falls to his knees and gets in a saisa posture and closes his eyes. A few seconds later, you hear the sound of battle armor running. The entrance to the tent opens and in comes in a group of Egyptian soldiers and they stand behind him. The elder doesn't acknowledge them and continues his meditation. The sound of the ocean and the unsheathing of a single sword are the only sounds that can be heard.
Looks like this is the last one. He must be their terrible leader. We will take his head to the king. Let the slaughter of your troops forever haunt your soul.
Well, that's it for this week, but the adventure will continue sooner than you think. Come back and join us next time at the same place. We'll see you next time, and we encourage you to follow your own path. 感谢。